Amongst the martyrs of Ashura, there was a black slave from Africa, whose name was Joan Ibn Hawaii. On the day of Ashura, and in the middle of the battle, Joan asked permission for fighting from Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein said, "You are a slave, Joan. Slaves are exempt from fighting." Joan fell to Imam's feet and said, "Oh, Master, it's not fair that I remain with you in times of comfort, but leave you in hard times. Though my smell is not good, and I am black in color, but I swear to God that I shall not part from you until my dark blood gets mixed with your red blood." Thus, he obtained the permission and went into battle. After a valorous battle, he was martyred. Thus he joined the ranks of the thirsty martyrs of the desert of Nainoa. At that moment, Imam Hussein came by him and said, "O God, enlighten his face and make his scent fragrant, and associate him with Muhammad and his progeny." In the whole of Africa, approximately 60 countries, you couldn't find a cleric, a Shia cleric, a sheikh like Zakzaki. But so many Shia scholars knew nothing about him. Not just the Iranian layperson, but even the scholars don't know about Sheikh Zakzaki.
Even people who did not know him formally or do not understand him formally, now more and more people are understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guiding more hearts to Sayyid Zakzaki. And many people now see him as a spiritual and also a political leader. You know, somebody who has come to salvage the country like Imam Khomeini did in Iran and like Sheikh Danfodio did here in Nigeria 200 years ago. So that is how many people regard the personality of Sayyid Zakzaki, inshallah.
Sheikh Zakzaki is my teacher and guide first. Then he is my husband. As his wife and student, trained in his school of thought, I can say that the Sheikh is a virtuous servant of God. Before marriage, I only knew him to a certain extent, but after marriage, I became certain of this fact, the virtuous servant of God. This is the statement that you were looking for.
In the first year after the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, the Sheikh came to Iran. He met with Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini gave a Quran to the Sheikh. He said to the Sheikh, "Take this Quran and travel far and wide to propagate it." I hadn't read about anyone like Zakzaki in history. I had never heard nor seen in a continent, in a country, within the time frame of 22 to 24 years that such a great number of people had become Shia by one man's hands. More than 10 million individuals. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. My name is Ibrahim Zakzaki, and I am 60 years old. I was born in Zaria in the year 1953. It was 1953. If you want it in the lunar Hijri calendar, then it's around 1375. And in the solar Hijri calendar, it's around 1332. My family, including my forefathers, were all teachers of Quran. Along with Quran, they used to teach jurisprudence. Their main profession was farming. My mother's family too, just like my father's, were teachers of the Quran. In old times, every family would choose a particular path and then continue their lives based on their family's profession. For example, some were kings, some were merchants, while others were farmers. And in this way, they would maintain their lives. My forefathers taught Quran and other Islamic sciences along with farming. The roots of my family are in the Western lands. The area called Shangidi, in what today is called Mauritania. Back then, there was no Mauritania. There was just a city of Shangidi. My forefathers migrated to a place, which is now Mali. They were from the descendants of Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba. After their abandonment of the West and their migration to Mali, they finally came here, to Nigeria. Thank you. After finishing school, I went to university. I will never forget my first year in university. We had an American teacher who taught the subject of political influence. He used to say that the real thing with political sciences is that the politicians strive to influence people. He would say that there is a difference between the concept of power and influence. Power means dominance over the body, while influence means dominance over hearts and thoughts. He used to say that the powerful people try to influence the masses because influence is more powerful and more important than power. One day, he used an example to explain it better. His example was regarding Iran, the country in which the power belonged to the Shah, but there was this other person too who did not have power but had influence over the people. The teacher wrote the name of that person on the board. At the time, I didn't pay too much attention to the name, but I remembered that it started with KHO. The teacher had said that this man whose name I have written has influence over all people of Iran. This man has deep penetration in the hearts and the minds of the people of Iran. Later, I came to know that the name was Khomeini. After that, news about Khomeini would reach us. We would read in the newspapers that there are very large-scale protests taking place in Iran, and people have the pictures of Imam Khomeini in their hands. In those days, the Western media published a picture of Imam Khomeini reciting his prayers. This picture was very interesting and effective on the people of Nigeria. The first picture of Imam Khomeini that the people of Nigeria saw was this one. And it brought about a great enthusiasm and fondness in us. I haven't forgotten that in those days I bought a magazine. I cut out the picture of Imam Khomeini and stuck it on my wall and made copies of it in the university. The interesting part is that after the success of the revolution in Iran, I went to the Iranian Cultural Consulate in Lagos to ask for the Imam Khomeini's picture. They said, "We don't have one, except this black and white one, which a Nigerian student had made copies of and which has reached to us." After the victory of the revolution, I traveled to Iran, and on that journey I met with Imam Khomeini. Though he was ill at the time, we got permission and we went to meet him in the hospital. There he talked to us and I recorded his speech. When I returned from Iran and landed at the airport in Lagos, from the very moment upon entering the university in Lagos, I started giving speeches. The people of Nigeria had experience in Islamic revolutions in their history. They warded off monarchical system 207 years ago and established an Islamic government, and hence, when they saw Imam Khomeini, they considered him to be like Uthman ibn Fawdi, the leader of the Islamic revolution of Nigeria. The people of Nigeria are capable of comprehending the concept of an Islamic revolution without any trouble. After the dominance of the British, the people of Nigeria always wanted an Islamic government and to bring about an Islamic revolution again. That's why, when they saw Imam Khomeini, they considered him to be like Uthman ibn Fawdi and became hopeful that once again an Islamic government can return to this country. Our activities in the Islamic movement too are not restricted to one particular sect. Rather, they are for the purpose of enlivening the Islamic system. And when people become aware of our intentions, they joined us. It is right that the Sheikh himself was Shia, but the Islamic movement didn't start with the Shias directly. No, they didn't call themselves Shia or Sunni. They said, "We are Muslims and we have a responsibility," and hence the propagation began, such that the voice of the Sheikh reached the entire government. That's how it began. They arrested the Sheikh for the first time. He has been arrested many times. Every administration that has come to power has arrested him. The last time was in 1996. They came to his house, arrested him, and took him away. Sheikh remained in jail for 4 years. The propagation resumed when he returned from prison. We gradually introduced Shiism to the people. In Nigeria, people have a very good relationship with the clergy, a very cordial relationship, especially the Shia. This is because they see that a cleric or a propagator practices what he preaches. Let me tell you about an incident. There was a person in the Sheikh's area who wasn't Shia. His son would go to the Sheikh's house every evening after prayers. He had heard that the Sheikh serves tea to people with his own hands. He was amazed to hear of such a powerful cleric serving tea himself. He wanted to see for himself. He finished his prayers and saw that the Sheikh was pouring tea for the people with his own hands, that he was giving tea to every person, to every student, one by one. When his turn came, Sheikh served him. He drank the tea. Then he started going to his house for weeks. until his father came to know. His father asked him not to go to the Sheikh's house because he had heard that the Sheikh gives tea to people and whoever takes this tea becomes Shia. The son said, "Father, I have become a Shia." His father said, "You've definitely drank his tea, because whoever drinks it becomes a Shia." The Nigerian Shias have good relations with the followers of other denominations. In Nigeria, you can find families where parents are Sunni while the children are Shia. In our country, it is not possible to call a city of Sunnis or a city of Shias. We are all together. We Shias wanted our masjids to be common with Ahlul Sunnah. We all pray together. We Shias have good relations with the Nigerian Christians too. The Christians also know that we are very different from those terrorists who, in the name of Islam, fight with Christians. We do not fight anyone because of their religion. We only defend. Our relations with Christians are good, but have not reached a level where we can arrange common programs with them. But we invite them to our programs, and they invite us to theirs. The Shia women go to the houses of non-Shias, one by one, and distribute food, veils, clothing, and household items. There are so many non-Shias who have gotten married but do not possess even the most basic household items. But the Shias go to them and they give them these household items. These women are our foundations. And if woman wasn't here, we too would not be here. An organization came into existence by the name of the Sisters Forum, and they started working. Many of the inaudible of the Islamic movement too are women. They carry out so many programs. For example, filmmaking. We have a film city, cities built for filming, and its manager is a woman. Just see, A woman manages that.
Am I supposed to speak in Hausa? Okay. My name is Zainab Ibrahim. I am a wife and one of the students of Sheikh Zakzaki, who has a hearty faith in the Islamic movement. I thank God that Sheikh Ibrahim, from the very beginning of the Islamic movement, has believed that women too should participate actively, just like the men. The Sheikh has supported women from the very beginning. Before the Islamic movement, women were not allowed to be active or take on any role on a social level. The enemies have always objected to us by saying, why are there women playing a role in the Islamic movement? Before, the activities of women were limited to buying household items and participation in marriage ceremonies. They had no religious activities. But thanks to God, in the last 30 years, we have participated in all activities because of the Islamic movement. You can see that all the programs in the Islamic movement take place with the female presence. Here in the film city, we are making a historical film. This film is about Sheikh Uthman ibn Fawdi. The purpose of this film is to show how Uthman ibn Fawdi transformed the conditions of his time. Though the Nigerian people of old were Muslims, but their Islam was not complete. So Uthman ibn Fawdi brought about an Islamic revolution and established an Islamic government. Around 200 years have passed from that time. The Portuguese came to Western Africa, especially Nigeria, through the South Atlantic Ocean. They saw the conditions in Nigeria and informed the Europeans. Then the British, French, and other Europeans came. They entered Nigeria as traders and merchants. They started with the trade of goods, then that of slaves, and then it turned into imperialism. Then the Berlin Conference took place, and they divided Africa. The British took the rich countries of Africa for itself, and the remaining countries were given to France, etc. They did this and started colonizing the western and eastern parts of Nigeria, and then they entered the north of Nigeria. Then it was the government of Uthman ibn Fawdi in the north, which was an Islamic government. But the British started their insurgence against it. And gradually, they changed the religion, lifestyle, politics, and laws here in Nigeria, and thus their direct imperialism began over us. And this imperialism caused the effects of Fawdi's government to disappear in Nigeria, especially in the north. These Americans, the British,
They always wanted to impose their culture upon other people. Nigeria was a religious country, meaning that they were steadfast in their religion and culture. It's been some years now that they have started bringing foreign clothes of a different type under the labels of progress and modernism. It means that you should throw out your new clothes because we have brought new clothes for you. It means leave your culture and take ours because you haven't progressed. Nigerian people are religious, not just the Shia, not just the Sunnah, but even the Christians. They have faith in their own culture. Go and look at the Christian. They wear their own clothes. That's because they didn't accept this new culture, because it was no good. People buy our own works, handicrafts. You can see them in the markets. There's a lot of local products, handmade products. Look at the clothes I'm wearing. They're not from America. There are handmade local products in the market, and they wanted to ruin that. They bring new types for us so that we start wearing suits, so that our women stop wearing the veil and go without the veil. But we did not accept it. We wanted our own culture to remain. Wherever they go, they destroy the culture that exists there. These people don't have a culture, because cultured people do not destroy others' culture. If the people of Africa or Nigeria had known the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt and Ashura from the very beginning, they would have not been through these misfortunes. Because a person who takes lessons from Ashura never surrenders to oppression. That's why you see in Nigeria now that when they have come to know what happened on Ashura, they say, "We want to continue the path of Imam Hussein." We want to fight the Yazid of the time.
Well, it is true that amongst the companions of Imam Hussein Abi Abdullah alayhi salam, one of his companions is of African descent. That is Jaun. He's a very well-known personality. And it is on record that this particular individual, that is Jaun, he was at the battlefield with Imam Hussein. And then Abu Abdullah alayhi salam said, "Okay, Jaun, anta fi hilli min amri. You are free to go. Do not you know, punish yourself. Do not get killed. I allow you to go. You can go in peace. So, but this John, who was very faithful and very loyal to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he said, no, when we were in a good state, when we are not under any crisis, I was eating your food, you are looking after me, so I cannot abandon you at the time of trial and tribulation and crisis. Even if there is war, if they want to destroy you, I have to stay with you. I cannot go and leave you. So at that time, he said that definitely he, you know, pledged his alliance to Abu Abdullah. And then he went and also joined the battle. And then he was martyred. You know, it is said that when he was martyred, his blood was having a very good scent. All the people at the battleground, they had his scent is more than misk. You know, the blood of John was sweeter than musk, you know. So, alhamdulillah, this is an embodiment, an example of the allegiance of the sons of Africa to Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. So, it's true, John is a very good example. He is an embodiment, he is a living example of the allegiance of the Africans to Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. And I want to assure you that, alhamdulillah, in Africa today, there are many Johns. Even Nigeria alone, there are millions of Johns, inshallah, who have allegiance to Abu Abdullah alayhi salam. You can see, inshallah, on Yom Ashura, on the 10th of Muharram, inshallah, you will see. You will see millions of people, millions of Johns, males and females. We have male, female Johns and male Johns. They are all there. Inshallah, you will see them on the 10th of Ashura, on the 10th of Muharram. Inshallah, you will see them in Muzaharat. Millions, as far as you can, your eyes can see. So, alhamdulillah, our relationship with the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam is something which is old. People like John, who came before us, mashallah, they have taught us, you know, true wala, true allegiance to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam.